morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and we swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, Timotheus. Timotheus Joe, that's what we're going to start calling you.
No, I'm going to change my name.
Oh, you're going to change your name. What are you going to change it to?
I'm going to change my middle name to Buck. And my last name to two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you'll be?
Tim Buck Two.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
That's
deep.
Well, I heard it from a wise man last night.
Well, that's who you want to quote.
That's why it's deep.
You want to quote wise men.
Wise.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. Beautiful morning. Once again, we're blessed.
For now.
So what's going to happen? I heard something about decrease in temperature and maybe some you're showing me the actual weather forecast now. Let's see.
I'll let you read it for yourself.
No, I want folks to blame you, not blame me.
They're giving 3 to 6 inches of heavy wet snow possible for Friday night in through Saturday afternoon about 3 o'clock or something. So there is a winter storm watch in effect right now.
Yeah.
So all right. The good thing is when it comes, it hopefully will leave as quick as the last one left.
So I better mow. If I'm going to get any mowing done this week, I better do it today or tomorrow.
Do it today.
Yeah, do it today.
Yeah, because it's gonna start turning different.
Well, all right. You know, there's some things you need to take care of right away.
Oh yes.
And so with a snowstorm coming, the bad weather coming, that's one of the things, folks. If you got some mowing to do, my neighbor was out mowing, son-in-law was out mowing this morning. Yeah, it looks like I could get a son-in-law to come and take care of mine. You would think, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I'll let family matters take care of themselves.
But right now, the thing we're going to take care of right now, you know, someone told me one time, they said, if you don't know what to do, do the first right thing closest to you.
Yes.
And the first right thing closest to us right now during this half hour is to take care of God's Point of View.
Absolutely, and that would be our listeners.
That would be our listeners. And so how would they reach us, Timothy?
They could give us a call if you have a question or maybe a comment or something of that nature at 606-789-0318. They could also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir. And they could also text 606-367-0137. That's my cell phone number. If you'd like to text, you can use that number. Or you could give me a call. Some folks have called me in times past.
Right in the middle of a sermon, too.
Probably, no doubt. Yeah, the other night. But anyway.
I think it was a week ago yesterday.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
So we've got a question here this morning on this thing called the interweb. And
you've had your coffee and you're awake this morning, aren't you?
Well, we're going to talk about coffee this morning.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then.
So here's our question.
Okay.
If a preacher's wife leaves for no reason, can he marry again? Now, this question is full of all kinds of different messages here. Preacher's wife leaves for no reason. Can he marry again. Years ago, I got a telephone call from a fellow preacher, and he wanted to know if I ever performed weddings for people who had been
previously married,
divorced, and then remarried. And I said, well, on occasion, I do. I don't do them just as a matter of fact. Don't do any of them as a matter of fact. But I'm always more cautious when there's been a unfortunate circumstance, let's call it, in a marriage, and folks split, and maybe 3 or 4 years later they decide they'd like to remarry. I like to talk with them. I like to find out what happened. What was it? Was it for biblical grounds? Was it that you just fell out of love? I've had people say they just fell out of love. I had a couple one time, they wanted to change the wording, until death do us part. They wanted to include the phrase, as long as love lasts. Well, you know, I said, that's just really not something I would want to be a part of, because at any given time, someone might feel like, you know, they don't love her, and then tomorrow they love her again. So, you know, emotions are tricky things.
They are tricky things. And you know, so sometimes we don't feel the love from God. Does that mean we're going to leave him?
No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to wait on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait on him.
There you go.
So there's all kinds of issues that come up in marriages. So the preacher said, he said, well, that's exactly the way I feel. I want to talk to people, but I don't just discount people if they've had a divorce in their marriage, a previous divorce. I don't tell them that they have to live celibate the rest of their lives. And I said, then why don't you go ahead and perform the wedding if you're satisfied in all other respects? And he said, well, he belonged to an association that wouldn't allow that. But he said, if you marry them, then they can come back as a married couple and place membership in my church.
That brings a whole other point of view to the matter.
That's a whole other point of view to the matter. And I said, that's really not, that's nonsensical, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you do the heavy lifting and I get the results of it, you know, that kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
But he was kind of caught foul, and I said, just go by the Bible. Just do what the Bible says. Now, back to that being said,
okay.
If a preacher's wife leaves for no reason, can he marry again? Well, of course he can marry again, because the laws of the land allow him to marry again, but he's asking from a biblical point of view.
From a spiritual
point. That's what this program is about. In the first place, no reflection on the brother that's writing to us, but I've seen very few marriages that break up for no reason. There's usually a reason. That's one of the things I like to find out from people when I counsel them who have been married before, divorced, want to remarry. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Whose problem was it? Now, every once in a while, you'll find someone that's just very honest, and they'll say, you know, we married young. We were 18, 20 years old. And
didn't know about life and didn't know each other.
Had no idea and didn't care.
Yeah.
Didn't really care. And
I just loved her.
Yeah, yeah. And so I just decided I don't love you no more. And I've had a fellow tell me, I've had several men over the years and some women as well say it was my fault. All of it's my fault. Now, most of the time we want to blame each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, every once in a while it's refreshing to hear someone say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Take the responsibility.
Sure. And so, it's somebody messed up. Somebody didn't do something right. I have known a few occasions where people were married, they thought they were in love, found out they weren't, and they divorced amicably. That's a $3 word for you right there, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed friends. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
And so if a preacher's wife leaves for no reason, in other words, it sounds to me like he may be asking, if she deserts me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a preacher, I'm trying to do the right thing, but she don't want to do the right thing. She doesn't want to be married to a preacher. I've known situations where a young couple get married, they go into ministry, and she just maybe not, she didn't know what she's getting into.
Well, I knew I heard of a pastor's wife one time say, he decided to be the pastor, not me.
Yeah, well, that happens. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard of that. And so she leaves. And,
Not that she left him, just that was the situation.
Yeah. But sometimes they do leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, Paul talked about, those who desert
mm-hmm.
The believer, that the believer is no longer under bondage in such cases.
But now here, let me hold you up here.
All right.
Because I believe the scripture says, if an unbeliever leaves,
yes, sir,
let them leave.
Yes, sir.
That's what Paul, basically what Paul says, right?
Basically, that's what he says.
But what if the person leaving says, well, I'm a Christian and I believe. You can't call me an unbeliever.
Well, then act like a believer.
Oh.
Because in that same.
That's harsh.
And it's hard.
Because we're talking to some people out here, you know.
I know. But it's hard. Somebody said, but it's so hard to stay together. It's going to be harder on you to leave one another.
Yeah.
But if she leaves, what's going to happen to this man? It's not so much in my humble view,
mm-hmm,
as to whether or not he can marry again, because I believe the Bible clearly gives the right to the person that has been deserted, the person whose mate acted as an unbeliever, was an unbeliever, and left.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 7:15. I think that's certainly biblical. You can remarry again under those circumstances. However, can you continue to preach? Now, why do I say that? Can you continue to preach? Well, of course you can continue to preach. The question is, however, what kind of influence will you have?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Yeah. Because preachers are viewed as pedestal,
yeah,
individuals. They put them up too high. Shouldn't do it, but we do. A church would be well advised to be careful about hiring a preacher these days.
So you're saying not necessarily because the man done anything wrong, the wife left, he ended up with a divorce, found somebody else that will support him and be a true wife to him.
And a believer.
And remarries. It's not putting him down. It's just the situation that other people are going to look upon it and have questions in their minds.
It's the fallen world in which we live.
Amen.
And once you've had a problem like that, people view you differently. They do.
Yeah.
I've known preachers that went on and married again and also found churches. And they explained their situation to the church, and the church said, well, we understand it's not your fault, and so we're going to hire you. I've also known churches to hire somebody just because they were a good speaker, and they found out later, they didn't thoroughly check him out, and they found out later he was a liar, an embezzler, just a terrible individual character-wise.
Yeah.
So when you preach the gospel, you're preaching a gospel of good news. And I believe it ought to be represented by someone of good character, as best as they can be. We're not talking about perfect people. There are no perfect people. But it ought to be someone that no one could point a finger at and say, you know, you did this or you did that. And no matter how many times you try to explain it, your friends won't need an explanation. Your enemies won't believe you.
But now, as far as you know, the texter, I guess, or the querist, as you call it.
The querist. He's making a query here.
You said of good character. We're not saying, or you're not saying, that he's not of good character.
I am not.
It's just an unfortunate situation for him.
We're talking about all the ramifications of this question. If a preacher's wife leaves for no reason, and let me go back and say again, I've found very few times where there wasn't some kind of a reason, but I've also found where there was no reason. She just didn't want to continue with him.
Didn't like the circumstance.
Decided she didn't really love him to begin with. This is why counseling is so vital. To take your time. Don't rush into anything. Half of marriages fail. 65% of second marriages fail. And if you want to go on to the third and fourth, it gets even higher.
Yeah.
So someone says, we're not compatible. We're no longer compatible. Well, you never were. A man and a woman are the two most incompatible things on the face of the earth.
Didn't make us anything alike.
Absolutely. And when you have trouble at home, it affects everything. So the question is not that the emailer is not a high moral character. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying the gospel should be presented and represented. I'm talking about as the way Mr. Public views it.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Public says, boy, he's a good preacher. And somebody else said, yeah, but did you know he's been divorced and remarried? And something happens in the heart of an individual who does that. Shouldn't happen.
No. No.
But the people, we have this attitude about certain things, and most of it's based on tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning that some churches in recent years are changing their view on those kinds of things, but it's hard to change human nature.
It is.
So can he preach again? Of course he can preach again. I think of a biblical example, and this may surprise you, Timbuk, too, but this may surprise you, Timotheus, but many believe the Apostle Paul's wife left him.
Hmm. Yeah. I have heard that some people thought he's a widower.
Widower.
Yeah.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah.
But
I haven't read anything to confirm that.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to confirm it.
Because it's not in the Scripture.
It's not in the Scripture, nor is it in secular or extra-biblical literature about the Apostle Paul. I believe he was a married man at one time. Not sure if she died. I'm not sure if she left him.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about suffering the loss of all things, and he knew an awful lot about the home and marriage and those kinds of things.
He did.
Of course, led by the Holy Spirit, you would know a lot about it. But many believe Paul was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin,
mm-hmm.
and that would be like our Supreme Court today. About 70 individuals sit on that Supreme Court, and one of the qualifications was you needed to be a married man.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like today, if you want to be an elder in the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the qualities of an elder and deacons.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to ordain some additional deacons here pretty soon, and the qualifications for a bishop, it's called many different things in the Scripture, pastor, elder, presbyter, overseer, is that first of all, they have the desire, and then it says the husband of one wife.
Now that statement right there, people, there's some discussion to be said about
that. There's some discussion to be said about it, and church members would be wise to lead those discussions. Because in this liberal culture in which we live, more and more churches, not so many around here, but some around here, are hiring women preachers,
mm-hmm.
So-called pastors, to lead their church. And that role was never given to them. As a matter of fact, that role is forbidden for them,
mm-hmm.
according to 1 Timothy 2, because Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taken a subservient role ever since, and to lead a church is not according to biblical, not according to Scripture. So back to the querist here, she's left for no reason. Can he marry again? I say yes. Now, he needs to be very cautious about who he remarries.
Yeah.
And he needs to be very cautious about what your circumstances may be after you remarry.
Mm-hmm.
So, just the question as it's asked, yes.
Hmm.
Yes, I think you can.
Now, let's go back.
Because you've been deserted.
You have been deserted. And that's what the Bible talks about. Paul talked about the unbeliever. If somebody in that situation, let's say a husband or a wife, knows Scripture and knows this is the mandate for a husband, this is the mandate for a wife, this is how we're to treat each other.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't happen. Do you go so far as calling that person an unbeliever?
I go so far as to say that person has never been born again. And that would put them in the category of an unbeliever.
Wow.
You know, there's a way to test folks. Now, the Bible says, believe not every spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But test the spirits,
whether
they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false believers have gone out into the world. Many people walk down the church aisle to the song, "Just As I Am,"
mm-hmm.
but they leave just as I was.
Ooh.
No change.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is watch the fruit. Watch the tree. Jesus said every tree is known by the fruit it bears. You either believe that or you don't.
Yeah.
A person that says, well, they're a good person, I believe they're a Christian, has nothing to do with good.
Yeah.
It has to do with obeying the commandments of God. And what it is for a couple, this is why Jesus talked about marriage the way he did. This is why the Apostle Paul talked about marriage the way he did. Why he gave 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is all about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he addresses the married, he addresses the widower,
mm-hmm.
which the unmarried,
mm-hmm.
And those that have been deserted, those that have been divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an important thing because it affects every area of life. But more than that, Timotheus, it represents, it's a symbol.
Yeah.
Represents the relationship between Christ and the church. So when you see a Christian couple, a professed Christian couple who can't reconcile their differences, something is wrong either with one or the other or with both.
Yeah.
But there's somebody not doing what they're supposed to do.
Because if you followed scripture has instructed us to, you would solve the issues.
Sure. The issue is solvable. There is no problem that can't be taken care of through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No problem at all.
Amen.
But I just don't love her. I just got to have this. No, that's, see, I. Mm-hmm. You want what you want when you want it instead of surrendering to Christ. I didn't say it was easy. Please don't hear me say that. I didn't say it was
easy. No.
It's difficult.
It is difficult, but it's well worth the work.
Amen. And you shouldn't, that's why you shouldn't be quick to marry.
Yeah.
You need to take your time and you need to find out about, I'll tell you what I do to Moses. I have a questionnaire. Someone wants to get married, they want to get married this weekend, don't call me because I need about 3 weeks with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to wait and let me talk with you, then it's just very possible that I can. And would be proud of it.
And possibly save yourself a whole lot of grief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a marriage index survey, 75 questions.
75?
75. But no need to worry, Timotheus.
They're not essays, are they?
No, they're not essays.
Okay.
And they're not fill in the blank. They're yes or no. You just check yes or no.
Oh, okay.
You look like you know what you're talking about if you do or if you don't.
I understand.
So we go over those, and it asks a lot of different things about how well you know your future wife or future husband-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second most important decision you'll ever make.
Yes.
The first being, of course, surrendering your soul to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate the question, and we hope that helps you, brother. Mm. We hope that...
And that is a... I'm assuming this issue is growing more and more in churches and in people's minds and our society that we live in today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And people say, I just can't help myself. I just can't do no better. I don't believe that. I think you can do better. If you have a sound mind and you can think and reason, then you can line yourself up with the Word of God. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. People say, I can't change. I can't change. Well, I don't believe that. I believe you can change if you want to change badly enough. And we've seen that a couple of times here recently. One of the situations, people say, we can't change. That's the way God made me. Well, you can change. Most people are, I think, deluded. They want to do a certain thing, and so they do it, regardless of what anybody says.
And then excuse it with some kind of reasoning.
Well, of course. And this culture is full of reasons that you can pick.
Yeah.
Just take the LGBTQ, HIJKLMNOP group. I was born this way. I can't help myself. Well, I'm not saying that you may not have some leanings in certain areas. We all
have something.
We all have something, but it's what you do with it that makes a difference. 789-0318. Or God's Point of View at yahoo.com, or you can text if you'd like, 367-0137. Well, Timotheus, I've finished my, excuse me.
You do that because I'm gonna make a comment here. I was listening to a program recently, and it was talking, oddly enough, it was about divorce and remarriage, and these two Christian people had remarried, and they'd went through some counseling, and this guy said that he was told, before you remarry, go out with at least 20 different people. Not a romantic relationship, just go out with those people. Have a date, go out, at least 20 people, but don't just pick the first one because you're going to get in a whole lot of trouble if you do.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know whether 20, 10 might be better, depending on how big a hurry you're in, but anyway.
I don't know if 20 people to go out with me.
Well, I don't know that either.
Especially if I signed 10 bucks.
I can see it now. Anyway,
but don't just, you get in trouble
sure,
if you're on the rebound.
That's
basically.
The point.
Yeah.
And you, normally if you think about life, people, I was 22 when I married, and Without digging a ditch here for myself, you know, I had gone out on dates with other young girls, and so I had that experience, life experience, and so that's what he's saying. Yeah. You have some experience, meeting other people, types of personalities, and so forth.
Then you'll know for sure.
I think so.
And give it some time.
I think so. I would include, and I'm sure he would say this too. Ask God. Show me what I should do here.
Pray
about it.
Yeah.
Pray about it.
Now, anyway, back to the coffee. You finished the coffee.
Yeah, I am one of 100 million coffee drinkers today.
Well, there's a category that I can't be in.
Yeah. $18 billion to most this is spent on specialty coffee. I guess that's. Huh. Maybe lattes or something. I don't know.
I
just like plain old black coffee. And here's the question.
I know you like a little twist on there.
Are these people putting themselves at risk for cancer?
Oh, that's a question for everything anymore.
Because it's back in the news, you know. There's a judge that ruled that Starbucks has got to warn customers of potentially carcinogenic chemical found in coffee called acrylamide. I'm not pronouncing it properly. They say it's got the same substance. Coffee's got the same substance. The brewing process creates the same substance as cigarette smoke.
Really?
That's what they say.
Well, there's my whole reasoning right there.
Yeah, but you have another one here. A Stanford professor, no doubt, or no less, says the judge is probably overreacting. The judge has no idea about this.
He's not a chemist.
Things. No, no. I'm some people, maybe coffee's not good for them. Other people, it's perfectly fine. I don't think there's any major study or documentation on either side of that issue.
Yeah.
You know what bothers you. If every time I drank a cup of coffee, my stomach hurt or I had indigestion or what?
Stop it.
Because it's hurting me. Something's not right. But this was a big story, I think, earlier in the week, maybe, that coffee's found to cause cancer.
Mm.
Next week it'll be something
How
else.
How good it is for you.
And something else. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it makes one bit of difference one way or the other.
Are you going to tell me that this is not going to hinder your coffee consumption?
Not a bit. I drink more. C.S. Lewis, we know that name. C.S. Lewis, the noted that the man who denies the sunrise doesn't harm the sun. Would you agree with that?
Hmm.
You see, you got a fellow over here who believes with all of his heart the sun. Rise is not happening, but that doesn't hurt the sun.
No. Sun's going to keep on rising.
Sun's going to keep on rising.
If God permits.
All that man does is prove himself to be foolish.
Yeah.
And so I may say the Queen of England doesn't exist, but I saw her on television here just recently, so I know
she
does exist.
TV, it had to be true.
Yeah, if it's on TV, you know it's true. And so don't fall for all those things, folks. We all have beliefs. And we all have ideas and opinions, and that's fine. But that's what they are. They're just opinions about things.
Well, I've had family members tell me before, and this has been years past, that they would tell me a story, and I'd say, how do you know that? Well, I seen it on TV.
There you go.
Or, you know, some people say, well, I read it in a newspaper, or I'm finding out more and more, take your time, don't make a hasteful decision, just because the crowd's going one way, wait.
Believe nothing that you hear and only half what you see.
Yeah.
Here's one final email, and I've saved this one for last. An emailer says, Jerry and Timotheus, thank you for 5 years of teaching, loving, laughing, wisdom, knowledge, gratitude, and kindness, and doing it all while sharing God's word. The world continues to need it, and thank you for providing it.
Wow.
5 years. Thank you so much. Emailer, and this is our fifth anniversary today.
It is our fifth anniversary.
5 years today.
Happy anniversary, brother.
Happy anniversary, brother. We need more time. We've been saying that for 5 years.
We need more time, and I love that message. It was perfectly stated. I appreciate that very much. Folks, we thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. Sunday school, of course, Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups are at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Come and join us. at the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And again, thanks for listening today to another edition of God's Point of View.